Okay, this morning's shiur is being sponsored by Elliot Seidenfeld, Zecher Nishmas's father, Rav Eliezer ben Rav Yitzchak Tzvi, Olav Shalom, whose 32nd yahrzeit is this coming Shabbos, Parshas Vayechi, and the merit of the learning we do this morning, the Neshama Shtav and Aliyah.
Amen.
So before his death, Yaakov Avinu gives a final parting message to his sons. We generally refer to these as the brachos of Yaakov. However, of course, we're all familiar with the fact that not everybody really necessarily catches a bracha. And the Rambans that I'd like to focus on this week are the Rambans where he discusses the messages that Yaakov leaves his children. These messages, of course, are timeless ones. They were messages for the sons at that time, but even more importantly, they're messages to us and all future generations. As we'll see, a lot of the messages have very important themes and ideas for the Jewish people as an entirety going forward. We'll begin with Reuven. The sons that I think we'll have time to discuss are the first four: Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Those are the sons that we're going to have the time to discuss in this morning's shiur. Pasuk says, if you turn to page 144, Perek Mem Tes, Vayikra Yaakov Banav Vayomer Hayasfu Vagid Lachem Esa Sheyikras Hem Bachnas Hayamim. We've spoken about this many times in years past. Come together and let me tell you what's going to happen to you. Ba'achras Hayam, the end of days, the Ramban, and Achras Yom, actually says Achras Yom means Yemos HaMashiach. There are some Rishonim that understand Achras Hayamim to mean even Bimei Malchus Beis David, or during you know, a time period that already happened, but most of the Rishonim and the Ramban certainly follows that opinion in Chazal that he's telling us what's gonna he wanted to tell them what was gonna happen b'Achras Hayamim, and then maybe he started talking about something else. Yikavtzu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov v'shimu al Yisrael avichem. Come together and listen to your father. Reuven. So Reuven was the Bechor. Of course, Reuven was the firstborn. Was the first son of Yaakov. Reuven b'chori ata, kochi v'reishis oni, yeser se'eis v'yeser oz. Reuven, you are the b'chor, you were my first strength, the beginning of my family. You had tremendous capabilities, tremendous potential to be the leader, to be the role model for everybody else. And what did you do with that power, with that strength, with that ability, with that potential? So the Pasuk here says in Pasuk Dalet, Pachaz Kamayim Al Tosar. Pachaz Kamayim Al Tosar. What in the world does that mean? So we're going to focus on that, the Ramban. Pachaz Kamayim Al Tosar. Ki Alisa Mishkevei Avicha, because you literally ascended your father's bed. Az chilalta yitzui Allah, and then you were mechalel, you defiled, you profaned my progeny. You defamed something. You were mechalel something. So this is the pasuk that's a little bit unclear in the bracha or the message, I would say, to Yehuda. So here we focus on the Ramban's analysis. So please look inside the Ramban. Pachas. So what does the word pachas mean? That's one of the main foci of the Ramban here. What does pachas mean? Says the Ramban, pachas shem davar. Pachas shem davar. Pachas is a noun. Min anashim rekim upochazim. Like the pasuk in Shoftim that says, empty men who were pochazim. Rekim v'nimharim. Kale hadas. Pachas means people who act too quickly. Nimharim. Kale adas. People who are not deep, thoughtful, introspective people, but people who just, you know, they see a situation, boom, they react quickly without thinking. Kale adas. They're light of mind. They're not deep, thoughtful people. People who take their time. They are, you know, they act quickly. They are impetuous. I saw some people use that word, impetuous. You know, you just act quickly, immaturely, without actually thinking things through. V'rabosenu mishtam shembo tadir. Nistakalti, like the Gemara says in the Darim, Nistakalti b'bavoa sheli, u'pachaz yitzri alai. Klomar, kafatz yitzri alai. That pachaz means kafatz. It jumped on me, my yitzer jumped on me. V'amru od, afichizisu huduka megali. Klomar, kalus datam. Ama p'chiza, the Gemara actually uses it as a complimentary term somewhat, in Masechta Shabbos. Ama p'chiza, I mean the Gemara is saying it, the Gemara is saying it sarcastically, the Akhtame Pume Leudne, right? That's the Gemara in Shabbos about Nasa Venishma. Nasa Venishma. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches. So the Gemara says, why is that a good thing? I'm a Pechiza. This is like an impetuous, a nation that jumped the gun. The Akhtame Pume Leudne, that they put their mouths in front of their ears. Nasa Venishma, right? You put your mouth in front of your ear. Adein Pichuzaichu. So you're still holding in your impetuousness. Nimharim, they're quick to judgment, quick to action. But again, sometimes quick to action is a positive thing. If you're quick to act before you think, then it's not a positive thing. Nimharim, kalei das, light of mind. V'yitachen shehu hafuch min chipazon. It says, interestingly, sometimes you have words that the letters are a little bit off, like chipazon. Chipazon means to do something quickly. So pachaz has the same letters as chipazon. So he's suggesting over here, he's suggesting that, like, for instance, you have sometimes simla and salma. The words the letters sometimes get mixed around, even though it's the same word. Simla and salma. You have that. Or keves and kesev. Sometimes it's like keves ha'achad, sometimes shoro kesev, keves. Sometimes they can mean similar things, even if the letters are slightly out of order. So the Ramban says maybe pachaz also comes from the same word as chipazon, even though the letters are not in the same order. Perhaps it's actually the same root etymologically. Sometimes the Torah, for whatever reason, switches the letters around, even though it's the same shorish, because chipazon also means quickly. Yomar shetef. So now yomar. Now what does the pasuk mean? Shetef haba kamayim, right? When the water surges, when the water is just flowing and running, nothing can stop it. It's just going and going and going. You know, the waters are flowing. They don't think. They just go and go and go. Yomar, so what does the pasuk mean? It says, Shetef haba kamayim al tosarbo. Because Reuven acted with the oncoming, not thinking, quick actions of water, therefore al tosabo. Therefore, I cannot leave the firstborn. Therefore, I cannot leave the Bechorah by Reuven. Al tosabo. Ki alisa mishkeve avicha, where did Reuven express this lack of foresight, this lack of thought, this acting too quickly? He's referring to the Maisa, as he's going to explain in one moment explicitly, the Maisa with Bilha, where Reuven slept with his father's wife, with Bilha. Right? We had it before. If I'm not mistaken, it was in Parshas Vayeshev. Maybe not. Where was it? Vayishkav, right? Vayishkavis. Find where it was. Anybody remember where it was? Where Reuven slept with Bilha? Let's find it. Where's Avi when we need it? Shabbos, you knew. Where's the Maisa where Reuven slept with Bilha? I thought it was in Vayeshev, but it definitely happened, so we're going to find it. Vayeshev, yeah. No, maybe it's in Vayishlah. Yeah, Vayishlach, sorry. Page 102. page 102. Vayhi bishkon Yisrael be'eretz ahi vayelch Reuven vayishkaves Bilha pilegesh aviv vayishma Yisrael vayubnei Yaakov shnei masar. Very strange, enigmatic pasuk in the middle of nowhere. So Ramban says, Ki alisim mishkavei avicha, I can't leave the bechor by you because you ascended your father's bed. Bifacha zusecha, v'kalos da'atecha, because you displayed this pachas, this kalos das, this lack of foresight, this impetuousness. Oz chilalta, osam. Kasher yitzui Allah, pachas shelcha shukamayim ha'olum v'shotfim. V'zek lashna kosev b'mayim. Right, we see this lashon coming by water. Now look at the end. Umin akasav azek fi pshuto nira, kemoshe pirashti. From this pasuk, it would seem, like I explained earlier, b'seder vayishlach. Okay, le'elamanecha peis. Ki Reuven niskaven. What was Reuven's intention here? What was intention? Why did Reuven sleep with Bilha? So says the Ramban. What was Reuven's intention? Wow, he says, ki Reuven niskaven lifsol as Bilha me'aviv. His intention was to make Bilha no longer able to sleep with Yaakov, kedeshelo teilo od banim, so that she should not have any more children with Yaakov. V'yam itu b'choraso. Wow! If she would have, because Reuven was a b'chor, the b'chor gets a double portion. So if there are only 12 kids, Kolzman, there are only 12 kids, so the double portion is going to be 1/13. Right, 2/13 of the entire, because that's the way you do the Bechorah, right? Let's say the 12 kids, so the way you divide is you divide the inheritance into 13 sections, and the oldest one gets a double portion, and the other 11 kids get a single portion. But now, if they would have another kid, so there'd be 13 kids, so he'd only get 2/14, or 1/7 of the inheritance, and like this, he's getting 2/13. So Ramban says this was Reuven's intentions. A Pella, unbelievable, this is what he would do. Ki Reuven is kavan lifsol bilha of kedesh lotel lo od banim al kain amalo shehu pchizus the kalos das. This is such an impetuousness and such a lack of foresight. She yachshov laharviach, he thinks he's going to benefit from this. Velo yavolo mimenu yisron rak hefsed, and nothing extra, nothing beneficial is going to come to him from this. Actually, just quite the contrary, he's going to end up losing because of this. And this is why Reuven lost the status. And I saw some of the Mepharshim write, this is why when it came to sending Binyamin down, you remember? When it came to sending Binyamin down to Egypt, so Yaakov didn't want to do it. He didn't want to send him down. So Reuven comes and says, you can kill my two sons. As Shnei Banai Tabis, very strange kind of reason, but Yaakov didn't listen to him. So I saw some explain, and the Ramban there seems to say also, I don't have it inside here, but the Ramban seems to say that Reuven was somebody who wasn't a deep thinker. He wasn't somebody who thought things through fully. He wasn't somebody. He says, I'm not going to trust him with Binyamin. He's going to be down there in some dangerous situation in Egypt because of the fact that he jumps and he blurts what comes out of his mind first without fully thinking the issue through. So perhaps that's why Yaakov Avinu, the same reason because of this pachas, chizus, that Reuven displayed this impetuousness, this lack of ability to think things through deeply. And we often face difficulties that we sometimes jump and act too quickly. We don't think things through deeply. And sometimes we get caught up in the small things. We get caught up in the small things and we don't think through the long-term effects of things. A lot of times when you see a situation in front of you, so you have a gut reaction that you want to act right away just based on the here and now. We don't realize what's going to be in the future. Right. About the small things.
Sorry, just a quick question. Just halakhically, do I understand that you cannot take the bechor from one child and give it to a different one?
Right.
So
I
take it away?
Good. So I don't know necessarily that he means the physical inheritance. That's a good question. So, or he's asking, how can he take it away? You're not allowed to iser to remove the bechora. So, my gut would be to say that he's not talking about necessarily the physical legacy. But he's talking about the spiritual legacy of the tribes of Israel. Just you know, you're saying what technically speaking, that means they get a bigger chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it's a good question. I've got to think about that. You always ask good questions. I've got to think about it. How can he take away the Bechorah? How old is an Isser? Then Torah says, you're not allowed to, right? Lo yuchal levakeres benu ha'avah, people have bechars. Right? You're not allowed to give the Bechorah away to somebody else. Good question. But apparently, at least in terms of the leadership dimension, the leadership of Klal Yisrael, he's shown that he's not capable of being the future leader. A lot of times when it comes to raising children, for instance, a lot of times where we see the kid do something and you have a gut instinctive reaction, and you want to deal with the here and now, and you don't realize what the reactions have to the long-term consequences. And when we raise children and many other things, when we interact with other people, so we have to realize that the instinctive gut reaction without thinking an issue through all the way through sometimes is not the right reaction. And that's what Yaakov is saying here to Reuven. Right, I always tell parents that one of the most important things is to maintain a positive relationship. That's very important for the long term. Even when you have to say no, you have to say something the kid doesn't want to hear, you have to do things like that, but you have to not to just, you know, the guts and let the passion of the flowing water just take over. It's like sometimes it's mamish, things that come out of our mouths, it's mamish like the running water without like stopping the filter to like think, it's like, my gosh, what am I saying to my kid? You know, what am I doing? You know, it's hard sometimes in the heat of the moment to think of the long term consequences. But this is what leadership, someone who's a leader can't be like this. If you want to be a leader, you want to be involved in leadership, then you have to have patience. You have to think things through for the long term. And this is what the Ramban is pointing out that Reuven did not have. Let's go on to Shimon and Levi. So, Shimon and Levi, so what does the Pasuk say? Shimon v'Levi achim klei chamas mecheiroseihem. So Shimon and Levi really get it really pretty tough from Yaakov. However, it begins with the word achim. Shimon v'Levi achim. Why does the Torah have to highlight, the Ramban is bothered, why does the Torah have to highlight Shimon v'Levi achim? Why does it have to highlight the fact that they were brothers? So, Ramban says like this. Shimon v'Levi achim klei chamas mecheiroseihem. The sword that they used to destroy Shechem was klei chamas. B'sodam al tavo nafshi, in their secret, my soul should not come. B'kalam al techad kivodi, ki v'apam hargu ish, in their anger they killed the people of Shechem over at Sodom because Shar. Their anger was too strong, and I'm going to spread them out amongst the children, and I will spread them out amongst Israel. Says the Ramban, Shimon v'Levi Achim. So he begins by saying, why does the Torah refer to them as Achim, brothers? So first he suggests the following idea. Yomar, Baalei Achva. This was actually a complimentary term. It was a complimentary term meant to mitigate a little bit the actions that Shimon and Levi took against the town of Shechem. Yomar Baalei Achva, ki yecham libam al achosam. Because the Ramban says that Yaakov understood that primarily their actions did stem from a good place. It stemmed from an incredible, devoted, dedicated, deep sense of caring for their sister. Yilma'aleim z'chus. This is a beginning of a limud z'chus to mitigate a little bit what they did. Ki b'kinasam ala achva asu masha asu. It was because of their intense, passionate feelings for their brotherhood, for their sister, that they did what they did. Lomar, She'ein ru'uyim la'onesh gadol. To say that on the one hand, they were not necessarily deserving of such a large punishment. However, on the other hand, v'lo hachet ro'i limachel. However, the sin is also not forgivable. It's not. You can't just look the other way and forgive the sin. Ki hu chamas. V'hanachon be'enai. However, the Ramban says that's one pshat, but the pshat that he thinks is better in the word achim. She'amar ki Shimon v'Levi achim gemurim domim u'misachim zelo zebatz asamu ma'asem. It's a reference to the fact that both of them had the exact same thoughts, the exact same bad thoughts, inappropriate thoughts, when it came to dealing with the city of Shechem. Oh. Oh.
Page 99.
Good.
When it says the brothers, it says, Vayku Shimon v'Levi Achedina.
Good. Very good. Very good. It says it over there also. Achedina.
Rashi comments on it.
Yeah, what does Rashi say?
Shemasru.
Right, they're called Achim because they were Moshe Nefesh for it. Correct. Very good. So that's like the first pshat. That's like the first pshat. Ukvar pirashti shkoyach. Ukvar pirashti ki Yaakov katzaf al Shimon v'Levi. I already explained at length. That is a very long Ramban, which we did not discuss at that time. We will mention the Rosh Hashanah of it here today. Ukvar pirashti, I already explained. Ki Yaakov katzaf al Shimon v'Levi. Yaakov got angry at Shimon v'Levi. Shimon and Levi were dishonest. They were disingenuous with the members of the whole city. The members, the Ramban, as opposed to the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim, there is a major dispute here between the Ramban and the Rambam. In the Moreh HaNevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed, the Rambam writes that one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach is Dinim, and part of Dinim, the Rambam understands, part of Din is that you have to set up courts of justice in every town in order to impose justice. So the entire city of Shechem was Chayiv Misa, according to the Rambam Moreh Nevuchim, because they allowed Shechem and Hamor to steal Dina and to rape Dina. So since there was lawlessness and there was no, and nobody did anything about it, and somebody ripped away somebody else's daughter without anybody saying it, so the whole city of Shechem was Chayiv Misa, and therefore what they did really wasn't so bad. That's the Rambam's approach in the Moreh Nevuchim. And the Ramban vehemently disagrees with the Rambam's approach. Vehemently disagrees. That's what he's going to just mention very briefly over here. And he says, no. He says, no. That's why he calls it chamas. The Ramban says that Yaakov and the brothers and Shimon and Levi, Yaakov and the other brothers were all interested in killing Shechem and Hamor. Shechem and Hamor, they were deserving of death for what they did. But the whole city? What was the whole city deserving of death? They didn't do anything wrong. That's what he says. Look what he says. Very fascinating. Look what he says. Ki Yaakov cuts off al Shimon and Levi. Yaakov got angry with Shimon and Levi. Yaakov and the other brothers, they were only in on the plan, according to Ramban, just to kill Shechem and Hamor, just the two of them, because they were the Baalei Aveira. But he got angry at Shimon and Levi for killing the rest of the people of the city, Bavur Shasu Chamas. Ki Heim Lo Chatu Lehem Klal. The people of the city, they didn't sin at all. Ubo bibris v'nimolu, and they actually, in a sincere show of brotherhood, to be part of the nation of Israel, or to be able to do business with them, as they said, they sincerely had a bris on them, and they did that. V'ula yashuvu el Hashem, perhaps the city would get closer to Hashem. V'yiyu kulam bechlal anshei beis Avram, like. Right, like the people that Avram converted to monotheism, maybe the people of the city of Shechem were really sincere in the desire to get close to monotheism, to learn about what it means to have one Hashem, to keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So therefore, point number one, Yaakov was angry about simply the act that Shimon and Levi did of killing out the whole city. According to the Ramban, against the Rambam held a Yuchayv Misa. The Ramban says, no, that's not what dinim means. Dinim doesn't mean that they have an obligation. They weren't chayiv misa mitam. That, it doesn't mean that. He says they didn't sin at all. They certainly weren't chayiv misa. Va'od charalo, and furthermore, Yaakov was upset about another thing. He was upset also, shalo yomru ki ba'atzaso nasa adavar. Worse than that, the original plan was delivered in front of Yaakov. Yaakov was standing there. As he said, you know, we want you all to get a bris milah. But it says, Vayanu Shimon v'Levi achidina b'mirma. That Shimon and Levi had a different plan, b'mirma. The mirma, the fake-out plan, to end up killing out the whole city, that was only Shimon and Levi's idea. The other brothers thought that the plan was just to kill the two of them. So, what was the second thing he was upset? That it looked like, but the fact that the plan was delivered in front of Yaakov, it looked like Yaakov was the one who had this plan to kill out the whole city. So he says, "Va'od charalo, shelo yomru ki ba'atzaso nasa davar," that it was actually Yaakov Avinu the prophet whose idea this was. "V'yechil Hashem sheyasa hanavi chamas v'shod," and it would even be a bigger chil Hashem that Yaakov the prophet of God, would engage in this type of trickery, deceit, underhanded stuff, and undeserving. V'zetam, that's why he says over here, b'sodam al tavo nafshi, Yaakov is proclaiming publicly, I had nothing to do with this secret. B'sodam al tavo nafshi, that secret that they had, what secret? The secret that they were really planning on killing out the whole city. I only wanted to kill people who stole my daughter. They want to rape my daughter. The people who rape my daughter, just Shechem and Hamor, they deserve to die. But the rest of the city, I had no idea. I had no idea about that sod. B'sodam al tavo nafshi. Hisnatzlus, it was an excuse. Shelohaya b'sodam ba'anosim b'mirma. Uvikahalom lo nishyached kishabo al ir v'haragum. He knew nothing about that plan to kill out the whole city. In their secret, I didn't know. Etc. So certainly, in terms of the first part, a brother has to have that sense of caring for his brother, for the people of his family. We need to be people who are makari of our family, our brothers and sisters, our children. So you say, Kamenetsky, why are you spending time saying that people have to be makayiv of their children? They have to be makayiv of their siblings. They have to be makayiv. You have to be able to, for the honor of a person's wife, of a person's family. Like, it's obvious. So you may remember Rabbi Franz Tshuva-Drasha from this year. Wow, made a big impact. I don't know if you were there, but Rabbi Franz Tshuva-Drasha. Rabbi Franz this year in the Tshuva-Drasha quoted a Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis. Apparently, there are 14 times in the Torah where the word hineni appears. And 13 out of the 14, it's referring to a servant that says hineni to his master. But there's one place out of the 14 that it's not referring to a servant referring to the master. So, of course, I forgot to look up exactly where the pasuk is, but I know it's a pasuk in Yevamos. So in the Gemara in Yevamos of Samach Beis, Darshan's, the pasuk says, Tivasha Vayomer Hinein. Hashem says that if you call out to me, I'm going to answer right away. I'm going to answer your tefillos right away. And the Gemara in Yevamos says, who's this referring to? Where's the one place in all of Chumash where Hashem promises I'm going to answer your tefillos right away? So the Gemara in Yevamos says, Zeh HaMakarev Es Krovov. The person who actually takes his relationships with his relatives seriously. A person who cares about his parents, about his brothers and sisters, about his children, that his family is important to him. Unfortunately, as our friend discussed at length at that time, and all of us know this to be true, I would say that the amount of families where the siblings, all mamish, have a sense of ava, achva, and love, and the parents and the kids, that everybody's really B'shalom or B'shlemus, it could be that the number of families among from Jews where all that is the case, as opposed to the number of families where there's one sibling that doesn't talk to somebody, or there's one family that's not intact, or there's one kid who's distanced himself. It could be that there's more families, Rachmana Litzlan, where that's not the case, where it's more the norm that it's not the case and it is the case. Rachmana Litzlan. Rachmana Litzlan. So the Gemara says in Yevamos, who is Hashem going to answer right away? Zamakiris Krovim. And the Marsha, that Gemara Yevamos writes over there, the Marsha says, why is that? What's the Mida Kenegan Mida? So the Pasuk says, Kimi goy gadol ashelo Elohim krovim elov l'Hashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elov. Wow. Kimi goy gadol ashelo Elohim krovim elov. Who is this great nation that has the Ribbono Shlom as its karov? K'Hashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elov. Like Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who responds whenever we call him. So Marsha says, that's mamish exactly the pasuk. If you're Makariv, you're krovim. So who is your closest karov? Right? Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Lo tiskodu, who's your closest karov? Your closest karov is your father in heaven, is the Ribbono Shlom. So if you're Makariv as krovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, makes sense, I have to answer your tefillah. Because if you're somebody who the family is close to you, is important to you, and you care about, so if you care about your family, you're going to care about your closest karov is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the pasuk means. Ki mi goy gadol, what kind of great nation is this? Kimi goy gadol, asher lo Elohim krovim elov, that has a Kadosh Baruch who's close to him. Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elov, like a Kadosh Baruch who's always there to answer us. So that's what the Gemara says in Yevamos. So on the one hand, Shimon and Levi achim. So on the one hand, we understand the feelings of passion and of korva and of closeness. That comes from a good place, the Ramban says. That's good. It's good that they had that care. However, they took that care too far. You could also sometimes care too much, and it blinds you. Sometimes your family blinds you. Sometimes you can't see straight. Because of your own connection to your own family, you can't see the situation objectively. How many times, because of your own closeness to a family member, you lose all perspective? You lose all, it's my kid. Sometimes in our love, sometimes for our children, for our family, we don't always see what's best for them. We don't see. You advocate, but then you got to also sometimes realize that you're not seeing the picture fully. It's hard. It's sometimes hard to take a bitter pill. That's what the Ramban is saying over here with the brothers. That, yeah, the love came from a good place. It came from a good place, but you can't go too far either. It's not just do or die. Sometimes we're blinded. And that's exactly what happened with Shimon and Levi over here. They were blinded by that love. So it's important. Zamakayev is Krovav is crucial. It's crucial. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. But sometimes you can go too far. You can go too far. I see this, unfortunately, very, very often. Very, very often. With parents who get blinded by, I have to fight for my kid, I have to fight for my kid. But they in their blindness, they don't see what's best for the child. They don't see. Sometimes the love, they can't ever tolerate any kind of situation where the child gets a message to grow. It's difficult. It's difficult. We all have that issue. I'm not saying that I don't have it. I certainly have the same problem with your own kids. That's why I rely on other people to educate my own children. But so the Aveira was that they double talked, right? They were involved in double speak here, right? On the one hand, Shimon and Levi, they reached out to the whole town and said, come, join us, be nice to us, get a bris, we'll do business with you. And then they turn around and stab him in the back. Wow. Like I was thinking about this. You have, right, that was the chamas, that was the sheker, that out of one side of your mouth, you're being makarif people. Out of the other side of your mouth, your mamish backstab him in the most literal way. That's the Ramban saying that was the horrible aveir over here. Like I had in the past sometimes where, you know, I had sometimes a situation where some yeshivas try to convince us to take their weakest students that we should take. And then they turn around and say to the kids of some of the honor students, and they say, they say, oh, don't send your kid to over there. The kids in that school, or they have a lot of weak kids over there. Amish, the same principal who's begging me to take in their weakest students. So he'll turn around and tell the kid of the honor student, you know, you shouldn't go to that yeshiva because they have all kinds of all kinds of kids with issues or problems over there. So you can't have it both ways. That's what Shimon Levine, out of one side of the mouth, they're trying to say, come, be with us, and then they turn around and have a bris, and that's a horrible situation. And the truth is that the Rambam's pshat is very difficult because, oh my gosh, we're already over. The Rambam's pshat is very difficult because the Rambam says that really they were all chayiv misa, so then the obvious kasha is, why did Yaakov get so upset with them? They were all chayiv misa. So he talks about it again, not the time to go into it right now, but just we're learning the Rambam. Finally, the last pshat I want to say, and I can have nearly enough time to go through it. I mean, even... it's a massive piece of Ramban, beautiful, beautiful piece. I'll try to just give you the highlights in 5 minutes. So he came, then finally comes to Yehuda, right? Yehuda, and we've spoken about this in past years a little bit, I think even last year. Yehuda, atah yoducha achecha, your brothers all admit to your greatness. Yadcha ba'orof ha'ivech, yishtachulcha b'nei avicha. Mo yasa shevet mi Yehuda. The Malchus Yisrael will never leave Yehuda. Malchus. U'mechokik m'bein raglov ad ki yavo shilo v'lo yikasamim. Let's try to take this quickly. Just give you the Rashi Prakam. Lo yasashev mi Yehuda. So first he says, it doesn't mean that the Jewish people will never have a king. Look at the second paragraph. I'm sorry, it doesn't mean that the Jewish people will always have a king. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean we'll always have a king. Aval in Yano. That when there is a king, it will never leave Yehuda. Who's that? Until the time of Mashiach, who also will be from Yehuda. That Mashiach will be from Beis David. What about Shaul? So how come Shaul was the king? So says the Ramban very fasciningly. The Indian Shaul Hayaki Bavosha Devar Shailas, he wants to say like this, that asking for a king at that time was inappropriate because they had the Navi Shmuel who was deciding what was going on. It was an inappropriate thing. So it was a temporary measure. It wasn't real kingship. It wasn't real eternal lasting kingship. It was a temporary measure. It was done out of anger, and therefore it wasn't a real kingship, and therefore Shaul, who came from the tribe of Binyamin, was there. And that's why the Malchus got ripped away from him. Because it wasn't really a serious endeavor of kingship. And he says that was the tremendous sin of the Chashmonaim. We just finished Chanukah. If you turn to the next page, please, second paragraph. This was the sin, the terrible sin of the Chashmonaim, who were big tzaddikim and they did a tremendous thing as Kohanim, but their tremendous avera was they were Chassidei Elyon. But they had no business becoming kings. And the Ramban says, because they were not from the tribe, they were Kohanim, they were from the tribe of Levi. They were not from the tribe of Yehuda. They had no business, taking the kingship. At the very end, he says very beautifully, that there's two separate things. The Kohanim who would serve in the Beis HaMikdash, the Tzaddikim, the Tamidi Chachamim, the rabbis, have one job in Klal Yisrael, and the kings, the political leaders, the rulers, have to have a second job. The rabbis shouldn't get involved in politics, and the political leaders shouldn't get involved in being Torah teachers. He says it's bad for both. At the end, he has a beautiful, beautiful piece. That's the way it's always been. Okay, so he says, and Unklus over here in the Targum say, in what merit was Yehuda zeicha for Malchus? How is he zeicha for Malchus? So he was zocher because he was modal emes, right? We talked about that in past years. He knew how to admit when he was wrong. He knew how to say, I'm wrong. That's real leadership. Real leadership is a person who's emistic, who's honest, who doesn't try to cover up. Right? To be a leader, you have to be someone who's honest, who's someone who admits when something's wrong, who's able to say, I did something wrong. That's pshat Yehuda. That's what we're called Yehudim. We're called Yehudim after Yehuda because of Yehuda's honesty and leadership and being willing to say that we know the truth about things, to be straightforward. And so this is also, of course, a very important message we've discussed in past years. And this is how Yehuda was zeicha to kingdom, to Malchus based David, and ultimately to Melech HaMashiach. That's why we're called Yehudim throughout all the years. We're zeicha to Melech HaMashiach, coming from the tribe of Yehuda because of the sense of being able to admit when things don't go well. And that's the true sign of a real leader. And hopefully, we should be able to experience that time again when we get back to Malchus Beis David. You know, there's one thought very, very briefly in the last minute or two that we have about Asara B'Teves. Today is the 10th of Teves. The 10th of Teves can no longer, according to our calendar, fall out on Shabbos. It can't fall out on Shabbos anymore. But it used to be that Asar B'Teves could fall out on Shabbos. And the famous Vart from the Chasam Sofer, you know, the Mishnah says that if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, you push it off to Sunday. However, the Rashi says, so too with all the fasts. Rashi says the same thing would be with all the fasts. If Asar B'Teves would fall out on Shabbos, it would get pushed forward to Sunday. But the Avudram writes, no. That Asar B'Teves, again, nowadays it can't happen. But in the old days, if Asar B'Teves were to fall out on Shabbos, the Avudram writes, Asar B'Teves is the only one of the fasts that you would have to observe on Shabbos. You fast on Shabbos. Some say it's based on the pasuk in Yecheskel that the Torah says Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh, that the siege that we're commemorating on Asar B'Teves, the siege of Yerushalayim that began on Asar B'Teves. So it's the Navi Yecheskel says Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh. Since he says Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh, so it's got to be on Shabbos. That's what the Avudram says. But others say differently. The Chasam Sofer has an explanation. Based on the Chasam Sofer has a beautiful, beautiful, famous explanation. He wants to say like this, that on Asar B'Teves was the day that the Gzeirah and Shamayim was made, that Tisha B'Av was going to happen, that the city was going to be destroyed. And the Gemara says that every generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt in that generation, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in that generation. And we know, the Chasam Sofer says that Shiva Sabbatamas and Tisha B'Av, these other fast days, those are commemorating days in the past. Those are commemorating days in the past, things that happened in the past. So anything that's a fast day that's commemorating what happened in the past, you always push. If it falls down on Shabbos, you always push it off to Sunday. However, a Tainus Chalom is one of the only fast days. If you, let's say, a person's fasting Tainus Chalom, if it falls down on Shabbos, if you have a bad dream, let's say Thursday night, I mean, you have a bad dream Thursday night, you have a bad, and you accept upon yourself a fast for Tainus Chalom Friday afternoon, so you have to fast Tainus Chalom even on Shabbos. It's the only fast. Why? Because a fast day that commemorates the past, you push off. But a Tainus Chalom is, Hashem, you're diving right now. Whatever I dream bad in my dream, I want it to make sure it doesn't happen now. So it's for right now, even on Shabbos, you have to fast. Says the Chasam Sofer, Asar B'Teves is the only fast day that we're actually fasting for something for now. What's we're fasting now? Because any generation of the Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed, as if it was destroyed. So on that year when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was destroyed on Asar B'Teves, because the decision to destroy was made once the city was thing. That was when the Gzar Din and Shemayim was decreed it's going to be destroyed, was right on Asar B'Teves. So this year, if we want the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt this year, says the Chasam Sofer, we have to daven and say slichas and say to him this year that hopefully this is the last chance that we have to have the Gzar Din repealed and that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed this year. And every generation of the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt as if it was destroyed this year. So if we destroy the Beis HaMikdash this year, when are we destroying it? Asar B'Teves. So that's why the Avudram says that you can't push off the fast day to Sunday. You have to fast on Shabbos. And Perhaps that's why we even fast on Erev Shabbos. Normally we don't even fast Erev. Tana says the right. We wouldn't even fast on Friday. We won't push a fast on Friday. But here we do at least to keep a little bit of that. We fast Erev Shabbos to know that it's a sense of urgency. So hopefully, if we're talking about Malchus based David, the Melech HaMashiach Ad Kiyovo Shiloh in the parasha, hopefully we could try to think about this maybe a little bit outside of the tape, about what are we doing to bring the Geula, what are we doing to think about Eretz Yisrael, to think about the nation of Israel, and to hopefully rebuild that time, we'll be able again, Ad Kiyovo Shiloh V'lo Yikas Amen. We should think as we read the parasha that we should be zeicha to that time when we should all be Maidal Emes and realize that the time for the long Gullus is finished, where we no longer have Malchus based up. We should be zeicha to have that time, and we should see a king in Yerushalayim, in Yehuda, B'vias, Kol Tzedek, M'her V'yameinu, Amen, V'yamein. Once again, the learning today was sponsored by Elliot Seidenfeld, L'seich HaNishmas, his father, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yitzhak Tzvi, Olav HaShalom, whose 32nd Yortzeit is this coming Shabbos, Kodesh Parshas, Vayechi, in the schus of the learning that we did, may the Neshama have an Aliyah.